And now, on with the show.
All right, welcome everybody. Once again, this is Weekend Watch. I am one of your hosts, Spencer. There's two other hosts who are also here. What's up, guys? There's Keith.
Hey, that's me. What's up?
And David.
Hi. I will be David this
week. I hope in other weeks as well.
Yeah, all previous weeks moving forward.
Don't know about future weeks, though.
We'll talk about them.
We'll negotiate. contract negotiations.
We'll negotiate those bridges as we come to them.
I see. Fair enough. Just holding out for a better dressing room.
It's your own house. I've got like eight terribly morose jokes all piling up on one on top of each other, so I can't sort them out right now.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, like I said, this is Weekend Watch. This is the show where we talk about movies and shows and anything else you can stream on your favorite streaming service. So we're just going to jump right in. We don't have a theme this week. Got a bit of a hodgepodge. Keith has a little bit of a theme, but we'll get to that. So why don't we go with David first this week? David, what should we watch this week, please?
I'm going to go with a classic, Total Recall. 1990 gold. This is the story of Douglas Quaid, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, is a bored construction worker in the year 2084 who dreams of visiting the colonized Mars. He visits Recall, a company that plants false memories into people's brains in order to experience the thrill of Mars without having to travel there. But something goes wrong, and during the procedure, Quaid discovers that his entire life is actually a false memory, and that the people who implanted it in his head now want him dead. This movie is really great. It's got a fantastic plot about this like blue-collar guy who turns out to not be a blue-collar guy, and then there's a big twist, and there's alien technology, and Michael Ironside, and I really love this movie. It's like I've been watching this movie since I was a small child, and I just felt like revisiting it.
Yeah, I agree. This is a great one to revisit. It's 1990, like you said, jumping the gun on that 90s week. But
I got better.
It's either too early for 90s week or too late for sci-fi week.
Right.
It's our nice smooth transition. How's that?
Nice. There you go.
Being 1990, it's still got those heavy 80s vibes that, and I love it. I love this story. It's a head fuck. It's been fucking my brain up, like you said, since I was a kid, trying to figure out like what's actually going on. And every time I watch it, it's like, oh, well, this is what's going on. Nope. And I fuck my brain up again. Nope. It's a loop. I keep looping back to the same stories. But yeah, you got to watch it because it's a head case, and it's a great story. This is one of my favorite Schwarzenegger films. You know, this and Predator are probably the two that are, I don't know. He's got the good ones.
There's so many ones,
but
I've always been a fan of twins myself.
Twins is really good.
Do you guys remember Jingle All the Way?
Oh, how could I forget Jingle All the Way?
Man, fucking I feel like that
Turbo
movie's
man.
Turbo Man,
Sinbad, man, that was him fighting Sinbad, and he dresses up in the suit where he looks like Turbo Man. That's a great movie.
That movie's been like lost to the ether for a while. I don't think it's available anywhere right now.
I know you can't find it anywhere. But yeah, Total Recall, great flick. Love it so much. This is one of my favorites. Good pick.
Back to Jingle All the Way.
No, we killed it. We're done.
Where's Total Recall streaming?
Netflix.
Also, I don't know if the new one is streaming. Don't watch that one because it's bad. The what was it? Colin Farrell.
Yeah,
it was Colin Farrell. Yeah.
And Kate Beckinsale, Jessica Biel, and Bryan Cranston, and Bill Nye.
Yeah, they threw a ton
of
people.
There's so many people in this movie, and it was such horse shit.
I was really excited for this remake. I think the closest thing they got to the old movie, I think they did have the three titted lady in there, the three-breasted woman, was actually that was like the closest they got to the old movie. The rest of it was garbage.
Yeah, I remember watching that one and being thoroughly disappointed. It definitely did not have the same Judge Dredd and Dredd remake
say. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the Dredd, like the Carl Urban Dredd remake is a far better, I wouldn't even call it a remake, I would just call it like a...
It's a reboot.
Reboot, entirely, yeah. It's far more true to the comics. And Total Recall I was reading earlier, because I did read a novelization of this book, or of this movie, but there's this story is based on a short story by somebody.
That guy. Philip K. Dick.
It is Philip K. Dick. We Can Remember It For You Wholesale by Philip K. Dick is the short story that this is based on. But so they don't have like a really rich source to pull from. That being said, the first movie lays out this story that like I don't where did they even go in the second movie? I feel like I can barely remember that movie because the only sense that I have of watching that movie was just like pure confusion.
They didn't go to Mars. They didn't like it was.
He goes through like a hole in the middle of the world that goes through the other side of the world at one point, right?
Yeah, it was weird.
What the fuck?
Dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They screwed up the story despite there not being like a source to stick to, and they wasted these great actors with the second one.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to like throw us into a tangent, but I figured that was something that needed to be said because that movie's trash.
For sure,
the first one is great.
It we really should have is. Saved it for a poop. This is our early poop.
I was actually
an early warning.
I was actually going to throw that in as poop at the end.
That's sorry. Okay. I think we might have another one, but we could talk about that later.
We have two poops this week?
Maybe. Or should we save one? We'll save it. We're gonna hold our poop for a week.
Yeah. I don't know. We've been skipping so many poops. Let's give them two poops.
You don't want to hold your poop in for a week?
Yeah.
You can't make it a whole week. I mean, it doesn't sound healthy, but
I'm not a kid anymore. I can't do that.
I'll just eat a whole lot of tea.
That's like an inside joke. I used to hold my poops for too long when I was a kid.
I've heard that story. Yeah. Your sister's a big fan of telling it. Anyway, we're going to move on. So check out Total Recall. Where was it? Netflix?
Netflix.
Okay. Netflix. My first recommendation this week is the BBC America series, Killing Eve. This was a show that was recommended to me by my sister, and she's been getting consistently more belligerent about me watching it as time has gone on and saying how much I needed to watch it and then talk about it on the show. So here we go. Marissa, this one's for you. Killing Eve, starring Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer, centers on two women. Eve, who is a bored, whip-smart, pay-grade MI5 security officer whose desk-bound job doesn't fulfill her fantasies of being a spy. Villanelle is a mercurial, talented killer who clings to the luxuries her violent job affords her. And it's all about these two. One's an assassin, one's a British intelligence spy, basically, and they're trying to the one's trying to catch the other while the other's trying to play head games with the spy. It's really well written. In fact, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is one of the writers on the show, and it's just really good. It's witty, it's funny, it's action packed. It's really fun to watch. I don't know, what have you guys thought so far?
I got to watch one episode and I honestly stopped myself. I wanted to continue watching, but I had to stop myself because I think this is something my wife will also really enjoy. She loves Sandra Oh, and this has her style written all over it. So I want to save the rest to sit down and watch with her because I love the first episode and I think she would also love it. I think this has really good bones, and I think it could carry pretty well. How many seasons is it? It started a couple of years back, 2018 or so. Yeah.
So there's three seasons total so far, cool. And I believe there is another on the way.
Excellent. So yeah, this is something that I'm sure my wife and I will binge because I got really into it, and I really had to stop myself from continuing on.
Totally. I binged the first three seasons in a short amount of time, we'll say. David, did you checked out the first episode?
Yeah, I checked out the first episode. I was enjoying it. It was like what I watched so far is a nice detective thriller.
Yeah.
With highly interesting characters. I do want to watch more.
Yeah, definitely keep going. It's like I said, it's fun, it's funny, it's a lot of action, and it's just a smartly written show. That is currently streaming, I believe, on Hulu, so check it out there. Keith, why don't you give us your first recommendation of the evening?
All right, my first rec, I got a couple, like you said, I've got my own kind of theme going on. I picked two of my favorite Will Ferrell movies and two completely different Will Ferrell spectrum movies. The first one I'll start off with is a movie that, how could you hate this movie? Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. And goddamn, what a brilliant movie this is. We follow NASCAR superstar Ricky Bobby. He's at the top of his game, adored by everyone. He's got his wife. He's got his kids. He's got his best friend. But then he loses it all as a French Formula One driver comes in and starts to take over the NASCAR scene. And that driver is played by Sacha Baron Cohen and is fucking brilliant. His best friend is played by John C. Reilly, and I love the camaraderie between these two. It's got a ton of other people in this film, and it is that goofy, zany, stupid Will Ferrell movie that everybody loves. And I don't know what else to say about it. What else can we say about this, boys?
I think you touched on the most important part of the movie, which is John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
I love John C. Reilly in just about anything he's ever been in.
Yeah.
And this is no different. I think his character is the shining star of this film.
He is so perfect.
I think Will Ferrell, the team up of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, because they team up a lot. I think that particular team benefits most when they in turn team up with other giant comedians. And so Sacha Baron Cohen being the antagonist in this movie is perfect. Because I do think that Sasha sort of makes this movie in a way. I think he's kind of my favorite part of the whole movie. This just like strange European racer dude who is just the antithesis of the American homegrown, really simple Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, you're right. And when you stick a bunch of comedy geniuses like this together, it could only be gold.
Yeah.
And it was. Because, you know, I also really love the duo of John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. But they've had a couple of flops, you know. What was it? It was that Sherlock Holmes, the Holmes and Watson or whatever.
Yeah.
I never even watched it. And I even watching the previews is like, nah, this isn't something I wanna see.
Horrific reviews.
Yeah. They hit it out of the park with Talladega Nights and with
Step Brothers.
That one is another one of my favorites. But yeah, I could see where they kind of run their course with some of, I don't know. You can only tell so many of these jokes between the two, like bouncing off each other in their ad libbing. You know, that it turns into all the same joke after you make like five movies together. It's all the same jokes. Those jokes are done. But I still love them. I'm with you, Spencer, with the John C. Reilly thing, saying that anything he touches is amazing. Because I don't know, I remember first time seeing him in Chicago, watching him play that guy, and it was he stole the show for that movie for me as well. Like, he's just an incredible actor.
Yeah, for me it was Gangs of New York.
Yeah, amazing.
That was the first time I became aware of him.
Yeah,
as more than like a background actor, and I know he'd been in other stuff, but that was the one that got me. Yeah, awesome. Where is Talladega Nights streaming?
Oh shit.
Netflix. I found it. It's Netflix.
Netflix. Okay, yeah. Okay. It's on Netflix. Cool.
Right on. David.
Spencer.
Second pick of the night, big guy.
My second pick of the night is gonna be season 2 of Love, Death, and Robots. Came out recently on Netflix. This is a continuation of the anthology, so I don't have an overarching synopsis, but this is 8 more episodes in the long list of short animated stories that make up Love, Death, and Robots. I just kind of wanted to talk about a couple of my favorites. This whole season comprises just great animation again. I think the weirdest one was Ice, and it was a little bit it threw me a little bit at first. The animation is very strange in that one, but after a while, got into it and it really works. It's a fantastic animation style. Everything I really enjoyed all the shorts in this new season. So here, let me go down the list and I'll point them out. Ice, I already mentioned. The Tall Grass, Life, Hutch, All Through the House, Snow in the Desert, Automated Customer Service, Pop Squad, and Drowned Giant. The two that I'll pick out, I think, were my favorite. I'm going to say All Through the House was amazing. It's a Christmas themed story, and it's got a it's very short, and it's got a pretty immediate twist on it. So I don't want to talk about the story too much, but it is for sure worth a watch. I was laughing my ass off the entire time, and it's supposed to be kind of terrifying. But
that one was my favorite too. It caught me very off guard. I knew something wacky was coming, and then all of a sudden, I was just like, "What the fuck?" And it was brilliant, and it was very well done. I liked that one a lot.
I think my second favorite was Snow in the Desert. So I'll read the synopsis for this one a little bit. I won't go too far because they have kind of a long one here. But Snow, a grizzled bounty hunter, has a poorly kept secret. A genetic quirk that enables him to regrow lost limbs has made him functionally immortal. Unfortunately, it also makes Snow a target for a wide range of pursuers, including a mysterious woman with her own secret. Who have varying ideas about how his body could be useful to them. So this one is set on this like desert planet. This guy is running from bounty hunters, pursuers, and it's got a great animation style. I really like the story on this one.
It was incredible animation. Some of these were like fully, it was like drawn, and some of these, the CGI was just unmatched. It was incredible. Like I really like the change of animation throughout, just like in the first season. The second season does a great job of giving you different tastes of different animation.
Cool. So quite a little pause there. That's probably going to get edited out because I'm lazy and automatically truncate our silences. Right on. I personally have not had a chance to check out the second season yet, but I did finish the first season a while back.
It's good.
And I enjoyed it. So,
I mean, yeah. They're like 10 to 20 minute things. So it just, all 8 of them go so fast. I went through them pretty quickly.
Right. Right. Excuse me. Yeah, no, I definitely plan on getting to it. I did enjoy the first season a lot when one of you recommended it, probably David.
It was me.
Yeah. Back when we were first starting out, when we had a fledgling little program.
When we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
I mean, we still don't really know what the hell we're doing, but...
What are we doing?
I don't know. This is the video game podcast, right?
Wait, we're making a podcast?
Is that what... Oh. I guess. That it is now. That's what we're going to go with. Anyway, check it out. It's on Netflix. Love, Death, and Robots, Season 2. My second pick of the week is going to be the FX original show, Mr. In-Between. Currently available on Hulu, Mr. In-Between is a black comedy crime drama television series that focuses on Ray Shoesmith, a hitman for hire who makes a life out of balancing his criminal activities with his obligations to friends and family. He tries to be a father to his daughter, a loving boyfriend to his girlfriend Allie, and a good caretaker for his sick brother Bruce. He also covers for his friend Gary when needed and follows his boss Freddy's orders without question. He deals with criminals and monsters in his own violent way. This behavior, however, starts to take its toll and affects his relationships. It takes place in Australia. I think it was originally commissioned by FX Australia before it closed, before that studio closed. It got bought by another place, but FX still had the distribution rights, so they released it here in the U.S. on FX. There's three seasons total. The third season is going to be the final season, and will actually have its last episode next week. So it's not all that long to binge your way through it. It's just really good. It's funny. It's a lot of dark humor. And you know, it focuses on, you know, I don't want to say run of the mill, but what a, you know, like I said, a criminal for hire, a gun for hire, somebody like that who's really good at his job, and how he balances that with the rest of his life. You guys got in a few episodes, right?
Yeah, I got to watch a handful of these.
What'd you think so far?
I liked it a lot. You know, I kind of like this look at the bad guy, good guy type of thing. You know, I recommended it as a while back now, a show called Barry that's on HBO. Bill Hader plays kind of, he's more of an assassin-y type. This guy's more gangstery, I would say, but
right, yeah,
similar vibe. And I really like this structure. It sucks me in almost immediately. I like that the characters have a lot of layers, and this guy definitely does. And I think he plays it really well. I like all the characters in the show. I think it just was ticking all my boxes, and it did a really good job of it. I like how dark it was, that they didn't lighten that side up on it, and it was still really funny at the same time. I've been enjoying it for sure.
It's
pretty dark.
Go ahead, David.
I was just gonna, the scene that I wanted to highlight that sort of like makes this show for me, because this guy's a piece of shit. Like,
yeah, he's a shitty, violent criminal. Yeah.
But that he's in that anger management, that group therapy meeting, and he makes the comment. He's like laughing at these two other guys who are telling their stories about beating their wife and child respectively, and the group mediator is like, what's funny? And this guy's like, I don't think this is the place for me. I didn't realize I was going to be here with wife and child beaters. And like that scene right there kind of like illustrates his personality as a whole. I think is he's a piece of shit, but he has these standards that he maintains. He's not a completely evil dude.
He's a gangster with a code. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also really like the structure of the show, in that it is very, I don't want to say lazy, but it moves lazily through the plot, in that it meanders, it takes its time. Sometimes it spends a lot of time on something that you don't think is particularly relevant to the plot of that episode, but then it all comes around. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't rush its way through the story it's trying to tell. And I really appreciate that style of storytelling.
I like that too. And it doesn't leave you feeling bored either, because it has such the little side shoots it's taken you off on are like deep dives into some of these really interesting characters. So
yeah,
it keeps you interested the entire time. It's not like you're slugging your way through it, but the plot lines just, they take their time to come out. You're not being rushed through anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely check it out. It's worth watching. It's only 26 total episodes, 27 total episodes, I think. And it wraps up the show. Hopefully wraps up the show really well. There's one more episode left to air, so we'll see how it goes. Check it out. Currently on Hulu. Let's wrap it up. Keith, bring it home.
All right. So I'm going to go from stupid, full-blown Will Ferrell comedy to this kind of fantasy romantic comedy. It's also on Netflix and is a movie called Stranger Than Fiction. And this is a movie that I just adore. I thought it was fantastic. I saw it when it first came out. It follows this mentally unstable IRS auditor. He starts hearing this voice in his head that's kind of narrating his daily life, and he doesn't really understand it, and comes to find out that he's being narrated, his life is being narrated into a book, and he's got to find this author that's writing his story. And it's goofy and fun and emotional. There's a lot of good stuff about this movie, and I felt like it kind of opened up Will Ferrell a bit. You know, we have Maggie Gyllenhaal in there, who's not my favorite, and she was strangely endearing in this. And they had kind of a weird chemistry, which is hard to do with Will Ferrell. You know, Will Ferrell gets these love interests in his movies, and if it's not just outright outrageously funny, he struggles to capture the chemistry. But he and Maggie seemed to hit it off pretty well. I thought it was pretty great. And I just really enjoy this movie. I thought it was cute and fun, and it's got great people in it, and it was just a good film.
I enjoy this movie. I've seen it a few times. Who's the actress that plays the writer? I can't remember.
Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's stellar. She plays the hard depression pretty well, where she's just morose and distracted by death. And the story is great. It's a really good little rom-com. The only complaint that I had about it, I think, was she's such a... That first night where he goes to audit her and he's like spending all day digging through these receipts that she's purposefully made very, very hard. And he's like leaving at the end of the night and she bakes him that like pity cookie because she felt guilty for being just a huge asshole. And he stays and doesn't be like... No, I'm going to get the fuck away from you because you purposefully made my day fucking hell. That was my only complaint about it, but it's a great movie.
Yeah, this got to be my favorite Will Ferrell movie. I've seen it a bunch of times as well. And another part of the movie, another actor that I don't think we even mentioned yet was Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great.
He's fast. His role was really good.
Yeah.
Overall, it's just a really good story. Like you said, it's got that science fiction element to it. It's a romance comedy. It's fantastic. I don't even know what else to say. It's really well and made. It's a great movie.
It's good for everybody. It's something you can sit down with your significant other and watch and enjoy, or you know, young adults can enjoy this. It appeals to a wide variety of people, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So check it out. Where is it streaming?
That one's also on Netflix.
Netflix. A lot of Netflix today.
Yep.
I think that's it. That's all our recommendations this week. Did we want to talk about the other warning, Keith, that you said you were going to watch? Did you end up finishing that particular?
No, I started it. So let's hold our poop.
We'll hold it in. Hold it in.
Yeah, I'm going to hold this poop in.
Clench it in.
The only turd we're going to drop today is the new Total Recall. Don't watch that.
2018's Total Recall, yeah. Is that what it was? No, 2012.
20, yeah.
Don't watch 2012's Total Recall. That's
1990
bad.
Good, 2012 bad.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sorry, Colin Farrell. Watch Will Ferrell, not Colin Farrell.
Nice.
Sorry. Nice
way to wrap it up.
Wow.
And with that, we will wrap it up. That's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget, like usual, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Discord. Also, our website, 3guys1up.com. You can also find a link there to our Patreon. Click that. Subscribe. Give us some money. We'll keep making shows. I hope you've all enjoyed this week. We will be coming next week with another installment of Decades Week, focusing on the 1990s. So get pumped. That's coming soon. With that, we're all done. Thanks, everybody. We will speak at you next week.
You're awesome.